Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning is Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, 11 through 12, 17 through 20, and 31 through 32. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt! There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think it's easy to get a little bit frustrated with the Israelites sometimes in the stories we have of them after Exodus. We feel like they just saw 10 plagues and walked through the sea and all of these other things, and yet they still don't seem to trust. So for just a moment, in order to help us get better into the same headspace as an Israelite person at this time, I would like us to hear the story and place ourselves in it. So as I do this, if it helps you to put yourself into the story, close your eyes. If not, don't. It'll be pretty obvious when you can open your eyes again. But just go through this exercise with me. So you have just escaped Egypt. You saw wonderful and horrible things happen in Egypt as 10 plagues occurred, as the Passover came through and you experienced gathering your stuff as quickly as you could to leave. You experienced Pharaoh chasing you through the Red Sea and the Red Sea collapsing on Pharaoh. And all of that was wonderful and exciting and great. But it's now been 45 days. And no new food supplies have been found. Yes, some people have livestock, but that's kind of supposed to be the livestock that's supposed to start the flocks for this new place you will be at in the future. So you can't just kill it now. It has to be kept alive until it can reproduce to create the flocks that will feed your nation for generations to come. Maybe you're a parent of children and they are beginning to complain about their hunger. Actually, they probably started complaining a week or two ago. And while you've always been a good mind over matter style parent, even you are having trouble ignoring the hunger that you feel too. You notice that your spouse, your children, your friends, and yourself have started to waste away, and you begin to wonder, is this journey truly worth it? As you begin to wonder these things, and as these things get voiced by friends in your community, Moses hears it and speaks to the people, telling you that God is going to provide food. You believe in God, and you go to sleep wondering what food could possibly be provided in the middle of a desert. That morning when you awake, the food looks like nothing you've ever seen before, especially not in your entire life as a slave in Egypt. It's flaky and sweet. You notice some people around you seem to be taking more than they were supposed to, but you remember that Moses said, take only what you need. But you aren't going to get in their business. That's what they want to do. Let them do what they're going to do. At the evening, a flock of quail arrived, the first meat that you've had in ages, and you go to sleep satisfied, but wondering if it will be there for you in the morning. In the morning, you wake up and you're excited to see the wonderful food that is outside yet again, but notice a little bit of a funk about, and Moses tells everyone very upsetly that you only need to take what you need. Risks and putting trust in God are things that are pretty common in the story, and risks to have better lives are things that happen constantly throughout nature and throughout human life. Birds push their babies to fly by, I looked it up because I'd always heard the stories of birds pushing their babies out of the nest to get them to fly, and it sounds like, from what I read at least, that's not always what they're doing when they push the babies out. Sometimes they just have to make a tough decision, but oftentimes birds actually coax their babies to fly, or at least eagles do, by withholding food or even placing food on nearby perches, tempting them to take a shot at flight to get the food that they want, ironically close to our people of Israel in our story. Butterflies, of course, the theme that we've had throughout this entire theme, metamorphosize, and then they have to sit outside of their cocoon, outside of that protective shell, for 3 to 4 hours while they wait for their wings to dry and fluff out enough to be able to actually take the freedom they have waited so long to have. They're vulnerable for a little bit in that time. If you've ever raised butterflies yourself or with kids or with a class, you'll have seen them with those wet wings. They're crumpled and they can't do much. That specifically 3 to 4 hours is for monarchs who then fly all the way from the U.S. all the way down into Mexico on that wild, long migratory pattern. Humans, too, of course, are not without risks in our transitions. Each of us has at some point likely had to move out of the parents' house, whether that be to go off to college to start our career, or if you're even younger, to go off to boarding school. You may have had to move to a new city or to even a new country to look for jobs and opportunities. Refugees have to leave places where they have lived their entire lives to look for places of safety. Friendships don't start without that first awkward conversation. Taking risks is what allows us to live into the freedom that God has provided to each and every one of us. Taking risks is what brings Israel out into the desert away from slavery. I don't know that I necessarily think Israel was actually thinking, let's turn the car around and head back to Egypt. I think that what Israel was thinking, better the cage that you know than the freedom that you don't know. Israel had to be free in order to take advantage of the full potential God had for them. They were not going to be able to be the people of God the way God hoped for them to be in Egypt, where they had plenty of food, where things, while terrible, were stable. Israel had to go through a rough time that we know ends up being 40 years of many years of wandering in the desert before they finally reach a promised land that they are going to being told about that they haven't been in for 400 years. No one there remembers what this place looks like. They are going on promises that they have heard. The risks even return. Eventually, the people of Israel will no longer need the manna, and they will have to go back to farming and making their own food. And that, too, will feel like a risk for those to leave behind. We know that that's being thought of because they place some manna to be stored away, to be able to be seen by future generations to remember how God provided for them in the wilderness. Even as the manna comes in, the old habits of old lives show up as the people of Israel. Some of them hoard the food to make sure that there might be enough if things go wrong the next day, only for that to backfire. God does not want those old patterns to resurface. God wants a new pattern, one where the reliance on God takes a much more central role in day-to-day life. Going into Isaiah, another story for Israel when they are in exile again from their promised land, we hear God speak to them, reminding them not to remember the things of old. Do not remember the things of the past, for God is going to do a new thing. The things of old have a way of holding them back and keeping them from doing new and wonderful things. Even as we look at the risks that had to happen as we come into our own faith, a new religion was not a foregone conclusion when the disciples began their work of preaching the word of God out to the nations. It was a new religion, a real risky thing in a oppressive government that didn't like new religions. Jesus also did a new thing when we see the covenant that he shared with us in communion. Jesus risked another thing when he died on the cross for us. All of these stories of taking risks and the wonderful outcomes remind us that we have to take risks, not because God is unable to do things without it, but because wonderful, more creative things than we could possibly imagine happen when we allow ourselves to trust in God. Manna was unlike anything they had ever seen before. And as we trust in God, we will see things unlike God has ever seen before. We will see our lives transformed. We will see our places of worship transformed. We will see communities, countries, cities, states, nations, and the world transformed. If we lean harder into trusting God, leaning on that trust to take the risk that's necessary to follow God fully. God is calling us into a new thing. All we have to do is be willing to take the risks to get there. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.